live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the sister of Arlene Arkinson is calling on Gardaí to provide more information and cooperate with the inquest into her death on the 24th anniversary of the teenager's disappearance. Proposed legislation, which would create a one-mile border zone in Northern Ireland where members of the public would be stopped, searched and detained, has been heavily criticised. SIP2 is currently balloting its members in the Rapid Action Packaging Factory in Gidor on industrial action. And British anti-terror police are trying to establish a motive after a man crashed into barriers outside London Parliament this morning. Those stories to follow on Full Plus More, and we'll have the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, SIP2 is currently balloting its members in the Rapid Action Packaging Factory in Gidor on industrial action. It comes after the company is believed to have refused to recognise a Labour Court recommendation on grievance procedures, health and safety issues, pay and workers' terms and conditions. Local councillor Micheál Colm McGill Osbuck is urging all shareholders to step in.
SIP2's balloting their members over the next couple of days. It's in relation to the company in question to refuse or to accept the Labour Court's recommendation. Workers have a right to organise themselves, and I'd be calling not just on the company to engage with SIP2, the workers, but I would also call on Idris na Gaeltachta, who funds this company, to step in here and look to do what's right by the workers.
The sister of missing Castlederg teenager Arlene Arkinson is calling on Gardaí to provide more information and cooperate with the inquest into her death. The 15-year-old disappeared after attending a disco in Bundoran and hasn't been seen since. The PSNI are now treating her case as murder, although a body has never been found. In a statement issued today to mark the 24th anniversary of the disappearance of the teenager, Arlene's sister Kathleen is asking for more information to be provided about a grave in County Sligo, which was exhumed after being alerted by gravediggers, but the body was discovered to be that of a man. Her solicitor Des Doherty says this information is vital for the inquest into Arlene's death, which recommences next month.
The last hearing was on the 18th of June, and on the 19th of June, the PSNI contacted their counterparts and the guards at that stage to basically ask the questions that I have been asking and to seek clarification. But as of now, there is still no response, there is no reply. But what the family are seeking to do now on the anniversary of Arlene's death is to really make a call to the guards to respond to the police and to give the fullest response as possible before the next hearing date of the inquest, which is the 4th of September 2018. If the answers prove to be negative, for certain, then so be it. It's another chapter in the case closed.
The inquest of itself will be frustrated by the lack of clarification on this matter, because you could be looking in the wrong direction.
It defeats the whole purpose of the inquest, or one of the purposes, which is to allay rumour and suspicion in relation to any case, but also as well from the coroner's point of view. I mean, the judge who is hearing it, he must be satisfied completely that the body in the grave is not Arlene. Because if he closes off the inquest too early, and then more suspicion and rumour starts up, and then it's too late, because nothing really can be done. Because at the moment, we're still in the formal stages of the inquest. The inquest is still live, it's still open. So this information is crucial.
British anti-terror police are trying to establish what motivated a man to crash into barriers outside Parliament in London this morning, injuring three people. The suspect, who is in his 20s, is understood to be from the Midlands. One victim remains in hospital after being seriously hurt. The government's Cobra Emergency Committee is currently holding a meeting. Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn says the incident is alarming.
It's appalling, it's quite shocking, and I think we say big thank you to the emergency response by police, fire and ambulance to get there so quickly to assist people. An arrest has been made, and so I think we'll have to see what events unfold from there, but clearly it is very disturbing.
Proposed legislation, which would create a one-mile border zone in Northern Ireland where members of the public would be stopped, searched and detained, has been heavily criticised. If the Counter-Terrorism and Border Security Bill passes, new powers will be given to police, customs and immigration officers along the border, with some parts of Strabane falling within the one-mile zone. Eamon Torsney has more.
The Counter-Terrorism and Border Security Bill proposes to create a one-mile border zone where the public will be stopped, searched and detained, giving new powers to police and customs and immigration officers along the border. West Tyrone MP Orla Begley says it's concerning that some parts of Strabane will fall within this one-mile zone. She says it's in contravention of the principles of the Good Friday Agreement and the Common Travel Area. Miss Begley says it would appear the British government, who are guarantors of the Good Friday Agreement, are preparing for a hard Brexit.
Gardaí are following a definite line of inquiry in the Deirdre Jacob murder inquiry after new information came to light. It's 20 years since the young Kildare woman vanished. Paul Quinn reports from Kildare.
Deirdre Jacob was just 18 when she was last seen close to her home in Newbridge on the 28th of July 1998. Despite 3,500 lines of inquiry and more than 2,000 Garda statements taken, she's never been found. Now in a significant breakthrough, new information has come to light with the case upgraded to murder. Deirdre's father, Michael, says the family are shattered.
We were literally stunned by it, you know. It's a big shock.
Detectives now believe Deirdre was killed the day she disappeared or shortly afterwards. Chief Superintendent Brian Sutton.
There's persons of interest. There's witnesses that may need to be interviewed. There may be searches need to be conducted. It's a full murder investigation with all that entails.
It's understood Gardaí are focusing on a man who spent time in prison for violent crimes against women and has since fled the country. Anyone with information is urged to come forward. Paul Quinn in County Kildare.
The border counties and the Midlands were the only regions to record a decline in overseas visitor numbers last year, according to the most recent figures published by Fulcher Ireland. The National Tourism Development Agency reports that 746,000 overseas tourists visited border counties last year. Of the border counties, Donegal remained the most popular destination with 255,000 tourists, but that figure was almost 30,000 in 2016. This is in contrast to counties like Galway, which had over 1.6 million visitors last year. Conor McMahon of the business magazine Forest says this has led to questions about the extent to which Donegal is benefiting from the Wild Atlantic Way.
This is a complaint that's been around for quite a while. Probably either 1 or 2 years, I've been hearing this anecdotally from tourist businesses in Donegal, that they aren't seeing the same numbers that the South is seeing on the Wild Atlantic Way route. Fulcher Ireland, in response, because this is a question that we would have put to them at Fora, they've responded saying that they've looked to set up cluster groups of different businesses in the area to try and find ways that they can work together and come up with new products that might be more attractive to tourists.
Looking at the numbers, if you look at Cork, Kerry, Galway, you're talking routinely in excess of 1 million. Looking at Donegal, you're looking at 250,000. So the gulf in figures is quite dramatic.
There's quite a gap in terms of the numbers, and that's probably down to how the Wild Atlantic Way is marketed. For example, Slieve League up in the north, you know, that wouldn't be given the same amount of credit as the Cliffs of Moher. And I know that there's certain groups, say, for example, the Tourist Confederation, they're looking at ways, are certainly encouraging policymakers to try and introduce more ways to attract people to sites like that. Because when you have so many people visiting certain regions, of course, they come under stress and strain at certain times of the year, certainly during the peak travel season. You know, we see quite large numbers coming to some of the hotspots. And if the country is looking to attract more German visitors and French visitors, they're not as keen to go to some of the hotspots. They'll be more interested in, you know, exploring less visited areas. So Donegal is definitely a good example of a region that could benefit from increased German visitors.
Meanwhile, rural Ireland shouldn't be hit by any changes to the VAT rate for the tourism sector, according to the minister in charge. Sian Ross has suggested a two-tier tax system for big hotels and the rest of the hospitality sector. He hinted the 9% VAT rate could be increased for large hotels and kept low for the rest of the industry. Minister Ross says he doesn't want to dent the progress made by the tourism sector over the past few years.
The hotels which are actually milking the system at the top can afford to pay a higher rate of that, but this cannot be done if it's going to affect adversely anybody who's involved in really legitimate and particularly important and middle of the road or bed and breakfast or smaller hotels or rural Ireland. We must not do any damage to any to that industry or those people.
Police in Derry are appealing for witnesses after a number of cars were damaged in the Ballymacgrorty area of the city overnight. It's reported that during the early hours of this morning, the rear windows of nine cars parked in the Swift Court, Dunluce Court, Sheelan Park and Rafferty Close areas were smashed. Police are appealing for anyone who witnessed the incidents or anyone with any information that can assist with the investigation to contact police at Strand Road. There are calls for a Europe-wide response to the fodder crisis, with one Midlands Northwest MEP saying there is a need for some fundamental policy changes to reflect changing weather patterns. Mairead McGuinness, a Vice President of the European Parliament, says drought is causing severe problems for farmers, not just in Ireland but in the Nordic region and Baltic countries. Ms McGuinness is promising to raise the need for a European response when the Parliament returns later this month and says there's now a clear need to at least maintain the current EU agriculture budget.
What is the medium and long-term prospect if weather patterns like we've had this year were to be repeated more frequently, and what are the knock-on impacts? The southeast and east of the country is particularly badly affected. I know that in Donegal there's been a little bit better growth than in other parts, but individual farmers are going through some very traumatic times, and I do think with other countries also facing these difficulties, it's important we discuss them together and come up with a response.
Are you suggesting in the longer term it may be necessary to, in a sense, review the way we farm and review the procedures and protocols under which we farm as a response to what could be changing patterns in weather?
Well, I think a lot of farmers are beginning to ask themselves, like, is this the norm? And if it is, how are we going to respond to it? There's also the added problem that some of our schemes, like TAMS and the beef genomic schemes, require farmers to keep their numbers up, so that even if a farmer wanted to reduce stock numbers because of a fodder situation that's difficult for the autumn, they may have a problem doing that and may face a penalty for so doing. It also requires us to look at the financing of our agriculture policy. You know that there is a proposal to reduce slightly, but it is still a reduction in the budget for agriculture in the European Union post-2020. Maybe we need to review that and say, should we not look at better funding the agriculture policy to deal with these types of crises, which are unfortunately becoming all too more frequent. So you will move from floods to droughts to big freezes. These all impact on farms and farm families across Europe and in Ireland.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, now stocking the latest range of children's gear from Nike, Adidas and Puma. MichaelMurphySports.ie.
It's now 5:15 and time for Little Sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. We'll start with soccer, and the Liam Muller tribute match is a sellout. All 45,000 tickets have now been sold for the charity game between Ireland Celtic and Manchester United Legends, which takes place at Parque Kiev. Organisers have described the high demand as a ringing endorsement of the GAA's decision to donate the use of their stadium. Elsewhere, Celtic's Dedric Boyata denied that he refused to play in tonight's Champions League qualifier at AEK Athens because he's trying to force a transfer through. The defender says he's not 100% fit. Manager Brendan Rodgers said he was disappointed by the situation and focused on players who wanted to be at the club.
More sad than a distraction. He's a player that we would love to have been here with us. We have to put the faith in the squad of players that want to be here and want to fight for the result. It's an internal matter. It's disappointing, some of the comments, of course.
Boyata's agent has accused Celtic of blocking a move away and said his client couldn't risk himself. This evening's tie is tied at 1-1 after the opening leg. Kick-off in tonight's game is 7 o'clock. Republic of Ireland international Graham Burke could make his first start for Preston this evening. The former Shamrock Rovers striker came off the bench to make his competitive debut in Saturday's championship defeat to Swansea. Manager Alex Neil is expected to make a number of changes for their League Cup opener against League 2 Morecambe. That's one of 34 first round ties down for decision tonight. Aston Villa and Yeovil Town and Norwich and Stevenage will be meeting for the very first time. In transfer news, Chelsea midfielder Tiemo Bakayoko joined AC Milan on loan until the end of the season. The Italian club have the option to make the deal permanent. The French international signed for Monaco for £40 million last summer but struggled to become a regular at Stamford Bridge. And Gareth Bale's stunning overhead kick in Real Madrid's Champions League final win over Liverpool hasn't been included on UEFA's goal of the season shortlist. A similar effort from his former teammate Cristiano Ronaldo's been chosen instead. He scored against Juventus, who he subsequently joined in the quarter-finals. Tottenham midfielder Christian Eriksen's goal for Denmark in their World Cup playoff with the Republic of Ireland, that makes it onto the list. And Brazil, former Brazil World Cup winner Ronaldo is back at home after being taken to hospital with pneumonia. He was admitted on Friday in Ibiza. Ronaldo thanked medical staff, family and fans for their support on social media today. And back locally, Fan Harps have confirmed that their Irish Daily Mail FAI Senior Cup second round match against Dundalk will take place at Oriel Park on Friday week, the 24th of August, with a 7:45 kickoff time at the County Louth venue. In Gaelic Games, Davy Fitzgerald is staying on as Wexford hurling manager for 2019. The county board have confirmed that the Clare native has agreed to remain in charge for a third season. Fitzgerald has been considering his future since last month's All-Ireland quarter-final defeat to Clare. A lengthy commute was said to be one of the major factors being weighed up. A delegation of players travelled to a 6 mile bridge base over the weekend in an effort to convince him to stay. Fitzgerald has now agreed to a 12th successive year in inter-county management. And Stephen Rochford's set for a fourth year in charge of the Mayo Footballers. The 39-year-old has told the panel and Mayo chairman Mike Connolly that he'll serve the second season of a two-year extension he agreed last October. Rochford will have a new look backroom team for next year, with coaches Donny Buckley and Peter Burke stepping away from their roles. In AFL, Dublin's James Maddison has signed a two-year contract with the Brisbane Lions. The Ballyboden St Enda's clubman impressed the Lions by breaking the AFL combined records in the agility test and the 20-metre sprint. Madden was part of the Leinster-winning Dublin minor football team this summer, and he also played under 20 for his county. The teenager becomes the 12th Irish player currently playing his trade in the AFL. In golf, Shane Lowry has a last chance to save his PGA Tour card at this week's Wyndham Championship. The Offaly man sits 139th in the FedEx Cup standings after his top 15 finish at the PGA Championship last weekend, and he'll need to be inside the top 5 this week in order to end the season inside the top 125 players. Lowry opted to split from his long-time caddy Dermot Byrne during this year's Open, and his brother Alan has been carrying his clubs in recent weeks. Former Ryder Cup captain Paul McGinley thinks that change has led to his improved form in the past month.
Absolutely. Dermot's a fabulous caddy, one of the best caddies in the world, and he'll have no trouble getting another job should he want it. And it happens, it goes stale. And I think Shane is very much an Irishman. Of all of us, he's probably the most Irish of all of us in terms of he loves home comforts, he loves everything about Ireland. And I think the fact that his family are around him, his brother's caddying for him, I think has had a big effect on him. And it's reconnected him with when he plays his best golf. And when Shane is happy, that's the most important thing for Shane. He doesn't really lose it technically. He just comes in and out of love of the game. And when he has that little bit of sparkle in his eye, that's when he's at his most dangerous.
Another piece of news, Rory McIlroy, he's considering skipping the first event of the FedEx Cup playoff series in an attempt to find his best form with the Ryder Cup looming. The playoffs begin with the Northern Trust event from the 23rd to the 26th of August, while the Ryder Cup is held from the 28th to the 30th of September. In motorsport, Spain's Fernando Alonso will quit Formula 1 at the end of the season. The 37-year-old McLaren driver, who's a two-time world champion, has not won a Grand Prix in 5 years. Alonso making the switch to the IndyCar series. He's aiming to win the sport's Triple Crown, adding the Indy 500 title to his Le Mans and Monaco Grand Prix successes. Finally, for this evening, in horse racing, concerns have been raised about the future of flat racing at Ballinrobe. Last night's card at the Mayo track had to be abandoned after 3 races due to the condition of the course. Jockeys claimed the track was giving way and causing their horses to slip. That's all your sport this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be after the 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. And returning to some news, 750,000 journeys are expected to be made on public transport transport on the weekend of the Pope's visit. The Pontiff will arrive in Ireland for a two-day trip later this month, which will include events at Croke Park and Knox Shrine. While half a million people will be at the Phoenix Park closing mass in Dublin. Jennifer Gilnall from the National Transport Authority says they'll be making every resource available.
We would encourage everybody to leave their cars behind on the day in question, and we encourage them to take public transport or coach transport to this event. We've organised transport from all over Ireland. Wherever you are, you will be able to get a train, a bus, and when you come into Dublin from outside of Dublin, you will be able to use public transport within Dublin city centre, and if you have a mass ticket, that public transport will be free on the day.
There were 22 people awaiting inpatient beds at Letterkenny University Hospital this morning, six of them on emergency department trolleys. That's an increase of 12 on yesterday's figure. Nationally, the INMO says there were 383 people awaiting admission at hospitals, the largest number 42 at Cork University Hospital. The Lifford Clonlea Community Alert Group's renewal meeting is taking place this evening, with local people urged to sign up. Secretary Grace Kelly says after its formation in 2014, the numbers fell and the scheme may have been a victim of its own success. Speaking on today's 9 till noon show, she says people need to remain alert at all times.
We have a renewal evening this evening. We set it up in 2014. We work in conjunction with Binion Text Alert Group, which is our neighbouring group. Now, they have had a lot of trouble this past 6 months to a year. We haven't, I don't want to jinx it by saying we haven't had a lot of texts sent out. But I think that's part of the reason the numbers dropped, because there weren't a lot of texts sent out. The Binion Group have set up a WhatsApp group.
Mm-hmm.
There's times you need to send out a text alert, which costs money, and there's times that you don't. But the WhatsApp group, I find, is very successful. I'm part of their WhatsApp group as well.
Yeah.
And I will share that then. I've also set up a Facebook page. You don't want to scaremonger, Greg, but people need to be alert all the time.
And finally in news, around 30 people are dead and several others are hurt after a motorway bridge collapse in the Italian city of Genoa. A section of the structure, which is part of a major route between Italy with France, came down during a storm. The Irish Embassy in Rome says anyone with concerns about Irish citizens who they believe are in the area can contact the Department of Foreign Affairs. The country's transport minister has called the collapse an enormous tragedy. Frank Abdu saw what happened.
I heard this amazing big roar, and it was raining, so I thought it was a lightning. And I saw the bridge. The bridge had collapsed. I mean, most of it. I couldn't believe what happened.
And for weather now, staying mostly cloudy for the rest of the day with scattered outbreaks of rain and drizzle. It will be very mild and misty tonight, with further outbreaks of light rain and drizzle and fog developing in many areas. Lowest temperatures of 14 to 15 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, SIP2 is currently balloting its members in the Rapid Action Packaging Factory in Gidor on industrial action. It comes after the company is believed to have refused to recognise a Labour Court recommendation on grievance procedures, health and safety issues, pay and workers' terms and conditions. The Sister of Arlene Arkansas is calling on Gardaí to provide more information and cooperate with the inquest into her death on the 24th anniversary of the teenager's disappearance. The 15-year-old disappeared after attending a disco in Bundoran and hasn't been seen since. Proposed legislation which would create a one-mile border zone in Northern Ireland where members of the public would be stopped, searched and detained has been heavily criticised. If the Counter-Terrorism and Border Security Bill passes, new powers will be given to police, customs and immigration officers along the border, with some parts of Strabane falling within the one-mile zone. And the border counties and the Midlands were the only regions to record a decline in overseas visitors numbers last year, according to the most recent figures published by Fulcher Ireland. Of the border counties, Donegal remained the most popular destination with 255,000 tourists, but that figure was almost 30,000 in 2016. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to your podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notices for this Tuesday evening, August the 14th. The death has occurred of Dom Bonner, Guido Road, Dunlow. His remains will be reposing at his late residence tomorrow from 10 a.m. with rosary at 9 o'clock. Removal on Thursday evening at 6 o'clock, going to St Cronus Church, Dunlow, for 6:30 to repose overnight. Funeral mass on Friday at 12 noon, interment afterwards in the local cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. until 10 a.m. and private on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, donations in lieu of desire to the Dunlow Community Hospital and St Vincent de Paul, care of McGlynn Funeral Director or any family member. The death has taken place of Evelyn Stewart at Mallon Road, Carndonagh. House private this evening. Her remains will repose at her home tomorrow. Funeral leaving her home on Friday afternoon at 1:30 for service of Thanksgiving in Carndonagh Presbyterian Church at 2 o'clock. Burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has occurred of Daniel Ward off Fort Aramore Island. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral mass on the island tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in the local cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. And the death has taken place of Daniel Cullen, 18, Ard O'Donnell, Letterkenny. His remains are reposing at his home. Removal from his home tomorrow morning at 22:10, going to St Junan's Cathedral for Requiem Mass at 10 o'clock and interment afterwards in the family plot at Comwell Cemetery. House private from 11 o'clock tonight.